Welcome to episode 109 of Breakout Culture. I'm Ed Fasey, culture editor of Country and Townhouse magazine.
And I'm Charlotte Metcalf. I'm the associate editor at the magazine. Now, since we've been doing this podcast together, we've mentioned the London Original Print Fair on an annual basis. We've never gone into detail about it until now. It is in its 38th year and it's London's longest running art fair. Extraordinary to think, given the amount of art fairs that are in London now. This year, it's running at Somerset House from the 30th of March till the 2nd of April and brings together over 40 top international print dealers, publishers and studios spanning six centuries of printmaking.
The fair is going to include pieces by artists ranging from Dürer and Rembrandt to Picasso, Hockney, Riley, Rick, Paul Arrigo and Elizabeth Frink. And we're delighted to welcome Helen Roslin, the fair's director, onto the podcast. Hello, Helen.
Hello, and thank you very much for inviting me on.
Well, we're absolutely delighted to have you. And I know there are two special highlights this year, one of which is a special tribute exhibition in honour of my very, very dear friend, Andrew Edmonds, print dealer and famed restaurateur and a founding committee member of the fair. Andrew sadly died last autumn, but to honour him, his son Milo and art historian Tom Clayton have curated a personal collection of his 18th century prints by the artist and satirist James Gilray, including some works that have never been seen in public before, as well as some impressions of his best known prints. So can you kick us off, Helen, by telling us about that?
Yes, how we came to do that. Well, as you say, Andrew was one of our founding committee members, actually. And the fair started in 1985, and it was just a handful of print dealers, most of whom had, you know, operated from back rooms, really, without a gallery presence. And they decided, you know, it was the moment to put prints on a platform. And Andrew was one of these. And of course, anybody who'd been to his shop in Soho knows exactly, you know, his drawers were stuffed full of the most wonderful prints by Hogarth and Gilray and Cruikshank. When he very sadly died last year, I thought the best way that we could pay tribute to him would be to give him a room, or give his son a room, to present some of his really special prints. And it just so happened that Tim Clayton had just written a book on James Gilray and told me that the majority of the illustrations in his book actually came from Andrew's collection, which Tim says is really one of the best collections, or the best collection, of Gilray prints in the world. And that is so typical of Andrew, because they were just hidden away. And he had quietly throughout his life been collecting Gilray prints. And every time he got a better impression, he'd sell the less good one and keep the really good one. And, you know, I think he was just coming to the point where he thought, we're actually going to show these prints. And then sadly, it was too late. So Milo, his son, has taken up the challenge and has put together these prints. And they're going to be, as you said, on show, some of them for the very first time. And we've got great excitement from sort of British Museum curators who know just what a connoisseur Andrew was. So it'll be a lovely show.
And there's one extraordinarily beautiful one. I mean, there's a very funny one with the shoes, which I'd love you to tell us about in a minute. But there's an extraordinary one as well, The Progress of Man, which is very beautiful. And apparently it's the only coloured impression in existence that Andrew managed to get his hands on.
Well, exactly. I mean, Tim is much more of an expert than I am. So he'll be the one to talk about the individual impressions and how rare they are. But I think, you know, the scope of Gilray's art was tremendous, as you will see in the exhibition. And, you know, it was very typical of Andrew that he would just he went on a mission to find the best impressions. Now, that's quite a sort of nerdy print word, an impression, but basically it means that obviously prints are made in editions, and instead of calling them each one a copy, because that's confusing, we call them impressions. So it just means, you know, it was one of the best of that particular edition.
Now, I was just going to talk about Hogarth as well, because he had a massive collection of Hogarths, and any exhibition you ever went to see anywhere which had Hogarths in it, if you had a look at who they were owned by, at least 75% of them would usually be owned by Andrew.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is, he was a very sort of, he underplayed both his knowledge and his collection, actually. He was, you know, a great connoisseur in the true sense of the word, and also a really great collector. But I think for me, what's brilliant is that there are, once you get the print collecting bug, it takes a while to understand what a print is. But once you do, it's endless fascination, because you can always go on and on comparing, you know, different impressions of the same print. And it becomes an absolute obsession. And I think that's what I love about prints, because you never, ever tire of, you know, tire of them. You can always get one better. But on the, by the same token, there's always a good place to start, because you can start. I mean, they're relatively inexpensive. If you're prepared to go for a later impression printed after the artist's lifetime, you know, it. You can. They're really affordable.
Ed, you love prints, don't you?
Well, I feel like they're the only things I can afford. I mean, I get contemporary art prints from Counter Editions, which are affordable prints by well-known British artists.
Absolutely.
They're all signed.
And I'm so glad you mentioned Counter Editions, actually, because they're exhibiting at the fair, our fair, for the first time ever. I mean, they're quite new in setting up in Margate. And, you know, the sort of editions arm of the Carl Friedman Gallery. And we're thrilled because their big showpiece is going to be new print work by Tracy Emin. I think she's done, I haven't seen them yet, but I think she's done some huge monotypes. And that basically means almost a one-off print, where she's added hand colouring or something on the top. And, you know, this is fantastic. We're so excited to have these. They'll be launched there.
I suspect they may be unaffordable.
I suspect they may. I think all I can say is that, you know, affordable is a big term. You know, what I will say is it's never a mistake to buy a print, because, you know, something like a monotype by Tracy Emin, a proven printmaker, will always hold its worth. And you will, I mean, it will dominate your room and give you huge amounts of pleasure in the meantime. So I don't think I've ever, in my whole sort of 30 years of being involved with the print fair, ever met anybody who's regretted buying a print that was just beyond their means. I don't think I've ever come across that.
And of course, Tracy Emin is a Royal Academician, and you've got a room full of prints curated by your Royal Academician, of prints by Royal Academicians.
Exactly, because as you probably know, for a very long time, the print fair was held at the Royal Academy of Arts, the only sort of art fairs we held there for the last 30 years. And so I really, really wanted to keep up. We sort of had to move over the lockdown because they needed to get their summer show back into the summer, and which meant there wasn't space for us. But I really wanted to keep up that link, because actually a lot of Royal Academicians make prints. There is a whole group of them whose speciality, they're elected Royal Academicians as printmakers or engravers. But there are also a whole other band of painters or sculptors who make prints as well. And Stephen Chambers, who's the Royal Academician who's curating the show, was very keen to show how artists of all disciplines love to make prints, because it's a really good way of getting your work out to a lot of people and helping people to buy original art for their own walls. And that harks right back to where prints were so important at the end of the 15th and early 16th century, because that's exactly why somebody like Durer started making prints, because he realised that, you know, very few people could afford a painting, very few people would get to see a painting, because they were often sort of either in churches or palaces or whatever. So he started making woodcuts and engravings so that lots of people could buy his work. And the thing that astonishes me, people pay very high prices for contemporary things, but, you know, you can pay a couple of £1,000 for an impression of a Durer print. It may be a slightly later printing, but it's still from his original woodblock. And that is phenomenal, because it's still on early 16th century paper. So, I mean, you know, as a historical gem, I mean, they're really affordable, I think.
And David Shrigley has created a special print for the fair, hasn't he? Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, David Shrigley has a great following. And the gallery, Jealous Gallery, who work with him, have launched, they tend to launch a new print by him every year. And they launched one at last year's fair. And we actually, the launch moment was sort of 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We had people queuing from 8 o'clock in the morning to get in. So I think he's definitely got a following. And
My mum is a great follower. She gets a Shrigley box every month.
No. Does she?
He sends out a box of sort of cards and stuff every month to his followers.
Yeah.
What's in it?
Well, I think sort of postcards or knickknacks, keyrings, whatever.
Well, you never know.
She claims to have the largest collection of David Shrigley's private collection, but I don't think that's true.
Well, maybe she was in our queue last year. Maybe she'll be there this year. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bring an umbrella because I don't know, end of March might be quite wet for queuing. But David Shrigley is great like that because, again, I think, you know, the number of people who make their first art purchase as an original print by somebody like David Shrigley, and then, you know, they go on to do other things. So it's a great way of starting a collection. So, you know, that's another thing about the print fair. There are a lot of galleries who show young artists, new artists, whose work is very affordable. I mean, Shrigley's are probably sort of £1,000 plus when he launches them new, and they quickly rocket after that. But, you know, there are artists who are just out of art school. You can buy them for a few £100. So it's a really good way to start an art collection and start becoming interested.
And do you always do this number of talks? Because there's a lot of talks this year.
Yes, we do. While we were at the Royal Academy, we always did. Last year, we didn't have time to get a programme together, but we've got two a day this year, and we've got really interesting... We've got Tim Clayton and Alice Loxton in conversation about James Gilray, which will be fascinating because they've both written books. And they've both taken different angles of Gilray, if you like. So that would be a wonderful conversation. We've got Rachel Sloan from the Courtauld Institute talking about Peter Doig prints, because there's a Courtauld exhibition of Peter Doig running concurrently. So that's part of Somerset House. So that's a great tie-up. And she's going to talk about his prints. And actually, one of our exhibitors has just given us the information that he's got some Peter Doig prints. So you can actually come and buy a Peter Doig print at the fair. So that's good. And then, yes, we've got some young artists talking. We've got seasoned printmakers talking. Yes, so we do. We've got a good programme of talks this year.
Isn't there one by Gavin Turk on the history of the egg in art?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That's such a great Gavin title, isn't it? Who knows what he'll make of that title, but I'm looking forward to that one. Yes, that's on Sunday. And Gavin is a wonderful supporter of the print fair. He's been involved with us for a very long time and always has new work. He's got new work at the fair, his eggs, which he's presumably talking about. And yes, I mean, he loves the kind of democratic art form of the print, I think.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant. So I hadn't realised that it's sort of, would you say it's sort of contemporary artist heavy? I mean, one thinks of the London Print Fair as being sort of traditional old prints, but I hadn't realised it was so contemporary.
No, well, I mean, I think that's the thing. I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people think print, so they're old black and white things. And interestingly, when we started off the print fair back in 1985, that's exactly what it was. I mean, looking back on it, it was kind of like a market store, Portobello Road or something, because everybody just had their prints in print browsers. And out of 16 exhibitors, I think 12 of them were old master print dealers. And we didn't have a contemporary dealer until year three. But now it's completely changed. I mean, it's actually quite difficult to find old master dealers to come and exhibit because, well, stock is drying up. I mean, quite simply, it's very hard for them to find prints to sell.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, I suppose that, you know, they go into collections, they go into museum collections. That's the thing, really. The good prints, the good old master prints, whereas you can print a new edition by an artist, you can't magic a Rembrandt print. Once they've all gone into collections, they're all in collections until somebody wants to sell. So this is why it's going to be fantastic to get this chance to see the Gilray prints from Andrew's collection. And I think that, you know, they must be hoping that somebody is going to buy the collection. Some wonderful benefactor is going to come along and say, we'll buy this collection and keep it together.
Because it is a memorial collection, isn't it? So the public, you can't actually buy one of Andrew's prints from the fair, can you? You'd have to, you know, go off to his shop in Lexington Street. But that's very nice, because then you can go to his restaurant afterwards.
Yes, exactly. No, definitely. No, I mean, I think the purpose of this is really to show what a fantastic collection it is. And you're right, they can't buy individual prints from the wall. But A, they could go off to the shop and buy. But, you know, hopefully someone will see that this is a great collection. And it needs to be kept together. So somebody needs to buy it and give it to a museum or something. So we'll just see what comes of that. But anyway, that's exciting. But no, Ed, as you say, I mean, so many contemporary print dealers now, and my work is always trying to keep the old master side of it going, because for me, it's very important to see it in its context. Prints have been important throughout. You know, we mentioned Dürer. Rembrandt was a fabulous etcher. Hogarth, Charlotte, you've mentioned, and Picasso, Munch, they were all great printmakers who, you know, experimented with all kinds of techniques. And I think I remember asking a Royal Academician once, you know, why is it that you like making a print? And they said, well, you know, with a painting, it's all up to you. You see the finished product. With a print, you're making it on one surface and you're printing it onto another. So there's always an element of the unknown, which is a great thrill for an artist. So, I mean, I think a lot of great painters, once they've, you know, they feel, well, I've done painting. So they come to printmaking. And, you know, Munch was a great example.
And is there someone selling, there's somebody selling Munch prints at the fair?
Well, I don't think we have anybody doing Munch prints this year, sadly, but we do have a lot of Picasso, Matisse, Braque. And, you know, one of the things I always think with the print fair is this sense of, you know, you can actually buy something by a very well-known name, signed by the artist, but it's actually, you know, if you're thinking in terms of a very, very expensive pair of curtains or something, you could spend the same amount and get an original work of art by Picasso to have on your wall next to the curtains. And, you know, I think sometimes people overlook that. I'm often surprised when I look at a fabulous room and actually, you know, there's a rather sort of, you know, there's a poster on the wall. And I think, come to the print fair.
Tell us a bit about the what's going on with the Chinese and the Japanese prints?
Yes. Well, that's another wonderful element, actually. We've got two Japanese print dealers, one contemporary print dealer and one slightly more traditional print dealer. And they are coming in for the first time, actually, the Japan Print Gallery. So I'm really looking forward to having them. And then the Chinese, I mean, the Chinese actually make wonderful, particularly woodblock prints, as do the Japanese. But we've got a new exhibitor coming in, the Muban Educational Trust, to join Art China, who already exhibit. But they're fabulous. As I say, huge, often very big scale works. But, you know, really impressive printmakers. I think they take it very seriously, actually, in China. And I think one of the things, actually, and that's historically too, the Japanese paper is so beautiful, isn't it? That sort of really fibrous, slightly sort of silvery paper that they have, they produce. In fact, interestingly, Rembrandt used to print his etchings on Japanese paper for his very special clients. So it's rather lovely. So even back then, in the 17th century, you know, Japanese paper was really sought after.
What's the most exciting contemporary stuff that's showing?
OK, well, it would be hard to beat the big Tracy Emmons.
Yes.
I think I'm looking forward to those. I think a gallery, another gallery is bringing Manifold Editions, I think, are bringing a big new Grayson Perry. So that's always exciting. They're always very popular. Well, we've got, I mean, all sorts of, with the Gavin Turks, as we said. But, you know, really interesting, the image that we've used as our fair image this year, because it was very spring-like, it's a lovely big sort of bowl of tulips. That is by a printmaker who is pretty new to printmaking, called Oisin Byrne, and he is Irish. And so we'll see. I mean, that's going to launch at the fair, but we've loved it. So I hope other people will love it too. And the same gallery has got a print by Hannah Tilson, who is the granddaughter of the great pop artist Joe Tilson. So that'll be nice. But again, a new, fairly young printmaker, so won't be prohibitively expensive.
How many people do you get coming to the fair? What sort of attendance?
Our sort of attendance over the 4 days tends to be about 10,000 people, which is really great. And I think, you know, as I say, once people get the print buying bug, once they sort of understand that prints aren't reproductions,
yes,
but original works of art,
yes,
you know, they really come back year after year. We have such a loyal set of followers. And the other thing I think that perhaps in comparison to other fairs, our footfall might be lower, but our buying rate seems to be quite high, which is very nice because I think people come because they really, you know, it's their maybe annual or biannual treat to buy themselves a print. So actually it makes for rather a nice fair because it's not too crowded. But actually, and one of the things I'd always say to people about fairs, the good thing about fairs is that everybody exhibiting at a fair is there to sell their work and talk about their work. There's no subject they like more than their own work, you know, the work they're showing. So never hesitate to ask questions of the dealers on the stands because, you know, it's their favourite subject, as I say.
Thank you so much, Helen, for explaining, you know, just because we every year we mention it on this podcast.
Well, thank you. Yes.
But it's you've explained so brilliantly how, you know, what an incredible investment it is really to buy a print because you are getting something so original and how wonderful. Well, I can't wait to come. So it opens, remind our listeners again when it opens.
It opens on Thursday, the 30th of March, and it runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, closes on Sunday, the 2nd of April, and at Somerset House. And you buy tickets online through their website or through our website. And, yeah, come along and have a look and just see the huge variety. And as I say, I don't think you'd ever regret buying a print.
Absolutely right. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. That was a great overview of the London Print Fair. And we're all looking forward to it.
Lovely. Well, thank you both.
We're going to be taking a short break for Easter now, but we'll be back on Sunday, the 16th of April, and bringing you news of the new exhibition at the Royal Academy, poetically named Souls Grown Deep Like the Rivers, when we're going to be talking to its curator, Raina Lampkins-Fielder.
The show brings together 64 works by 34 mid-20th century black artists from the American South, and we'll cover the themes like slavery, the segregation of policies of the Jim Crow era, institutionalized racism and the civil rights movement. The majority of these works have not been seen outside the US before, so it is not to be missed.
As usual, you can find us at countryandtownhouse.com, where you'll also find the latest edition of the magazine, as well as be able to listen to our sister podcast, House Guest with Carol Annette, talking to some of the most fascinating and influential names in interior design. We love your feedback and we'd also like to hear if there's anything you'd like to hear us profiling or changing. So please send me a comment or email us on charlotte@countryandtownhouse.co.uk. Thank you very much indeed for listening and see you next week. Goodbye.